Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. We want to welcome everyone who is listening to this edition of the Truth Beyond the Veil Ministries radio show. I'm your host, Andrew Tonge, along with my co-host and wife, Andrea Tonge. And we are born-again Christians and believe that we've been called to be watchmen at such a time as this, as we are in the last days awaiting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's return. As many of you know, the focus of this ministry is to impart the truth of God's Word and expose the lies and deceptions that have become commonplace in the church today. This will be done through and with the help of the Holy Spirit, who leads us and guides us into all truth. So we welcome you to join our broadcast today. And if you want to give us a call, if you have any questions or prayer requests, you can call us at our call-in number for the show, 215-383-3785. And you can also email us with any questions or comments that you have at truthbeyondtheveil. That's four words together, truthbeyondtheveil@yahoo.com. And our desire, as many of you know, is to speak the truth as taught in the Word of God, as guided by the Holy Spirit, without bringing in our personal opinions, cultures, standards of the day, or our personalities. So for those of you who can join us, we are glad you could be with us. This is actually part 14 of a series that we're doing on Jesus being the truth and the true prophet, and we are dealing with types and shadows. So an important type and shadow regarding the Lord Jesus Christ and Moses was Moses building the tabernacle in the wilderness, and Jesus Christ building his church that is destined to live forever. When we study the scriptures, it is obvious that God wants to dwell with his people. Last week, we started to look at the tabernacle to see where it parallels how Jesus is building his church and how we are to build our lives. As Moses gave instructions to build a tabernacle, so Jesus is building his church, the spiritual tabernacle and temple of the Lord. And it's important to note, it's important to repeat that the church is the spiritual tabernacle and temple of the Lord, meaning us as believers. Amen? Jesus is the cornerstone upon which we are built. We first come to the gate, or the door, which is Jesus himself. Then you can only become part of the church through belief in his shed blood. This points back to the altar in the tabernacle where the priests sacrificed the animals for sin offerings. Some people come to the Lord, but don't believe on his shed blood to wash away their sins. So they are not part of him or his church. Okay? Then we come to the laver in Moses' tabernacle. Just as the priests of the tabernacle had to continually wash, so we today as Christians have to continually wash ourselves in the Word of God so we can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus washes and cleanses us with his word. And even though we have pastors and teachers and other leaders that are preaching the word from the Bible, we as Christians are responsible for feeding ourselves with the word of God. Remember, the Lord wants to speak to us directly, not just through a pastor or a preacher.
And saints, we're talking here not just reading the word, like some people boast that they read the word daily and they read, but we're talking about actually getting revelation from the Lord, because that's what washes us spiritually.
Amen.
Because I can take up the Bible and say I read the Bible and I read the word, but if it does nothing for me, if I don't feel that word touch my spirit, then it really doesn't do what we're saying here about the Lord washing us, because we sin. We're always, you know, until we meet Jesus, we are not perfect, and we need that spiritual cleansing every day. But that word, that's why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that wherever, anywhere in your life where you're lacking, when you read the word, meditate, and the Holy Spirit reveals the word particular for you, then you're washed spiritually. That's what we mean by the Lord Jesus washing us, which is with his word, more than just reading the word.
Amen. Amen. And that's an important point, that we don't just do it for an exercise, but we do it to communicate spirit to spirit.
Yes.
From the Lord.
Amen.
So that he can bring about in our lives holiness.
That,
and that's the Holy Spirit working in our lives when that happens.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 17 and read from verses 10 to 12. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 to 12. It says, "And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of the honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few." We as Christians need to take the example of the Christians in Berea, as they had a ready mind to receive the teaching of the scriptures. But they went further than that, according to the word of God. They searched the scriptures daily to see if what they were being taught was actually accurate. Exercising this type of due diligence with the scriptures should be an exercise that we all practice. That would help us in not having a lofty, too much of a lofty view of preachers and ministers over and above. We should, as the scriptures say, knowing that they are men and they are fallible. This would keep us also from being deceived and led astray by cults as well.
Amen.
The church is supposed to be built on the truth, and Christians are supposed to know the truth. Jesus said that we would know the truth and that the truth would set us free.
Amen.
This is why it is critical to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher, and he is our guide, and we will never go wrong following his leading.
Amen.
Just as I do not have a relationship with my wife through a third party, my relationship with the Lord should not be solely through a third party either.
Amen. And that's why, as Andrea said before, the truth is what our mainstay for this program, for our show, because the Lord is building his church on the truth. Because the Lord says, first of all, we have to recognize that as sinners we are slaves to sin, and the Lord says, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Amen? So we have to recognize that the Lord is building his church, and it's only on the truth. And that's why we have to, like Andrew was saying, read the scriptures daily, seek out to find what's right, what's wrong, what's being taught, whether it's true or false.
Amen.
Because we want the body of Christ, the body of Christ must be built on truth, because it is through the truth that we are set free. Amen.
Yes, and we can prove to you that the body of Christ, at least in this day and age, is not where it should be, because Paul, by the Holy Spirit, always encouraged the people that they should be of one mind and
yes.
say the same thing.
Amen.
That means the doctrine of Jesus Christ and the gospel should be the same. But as we see with so many factions and denominations and everything else, we see that there are so many doctrines out there that no one is of one accord.
Yes.
So we don't want to be in one accord in the wrong thing, but it's important to be in one accord with the truth,
yes.
which is not what's happening today.
Amen.
Amen? Okay, let's go on in the tabernacle. Let's go to the golden lampstand, or the menorah. After washing at the laver, the priest could finally enter the holy place where the golden lampstand was. And let's look quickly at Exodus chapter 27. That's Exodus chapter 27 and verse 20. And that says, And this is the Lord talking. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. Amen? And let's turn to Leviticus chapter 24, verses 1 to 4.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil beaten for the lamp, to cause the lamps to burn continually, without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually.
Hallelujah. We see that word continually showing up a lot there. We see from Scripture that the light from the lampstand was to burn continually, and it was the only source of light in the holy place. Just as the priests probably could not see what they were doing as they ministered to God, if there was no light, we cannot see the right way to walk without the light of Jesus Christ in our lives.
Amen.
Jesus said in John 8, chapter 12, that he was the light of the world, and that he that follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Without Jesus Christ, you are in darkness and heading for hell. That is the truth of it, brothers and sisters. Without Jesus Christ, you're in darkness and you're heading for hell. Without Jesus, you will stumble in the dark and fall and be prey for the enemy. Saints, do not look at what possessions people have and the lavish lifestyles they may live here on this earth. If they do not have Jesus, then they are walking in darkness and are under deception.
Amen.
Just as the light was supposed to burn continually in in Moses' temple, the light of the Lord is supposed to burn in us continually as well. We must take care that the light is not snuffed out in our lives. Remember, our adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Okay, let's look at how light is described in the Bible. And let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 6. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Amen?
Amen.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the light.
Amen.
The light of the Holy Spirit living in the believer is there so that the light can reflect the light of the gospel to the unbelievers. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot receive the truth. They are in darkness, but the light of the glory of God working in us and through us is greater than the darkness of unbelief. Amen? We have to believe, we have to know that, and we have to believe that. Let's also go to First John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The scripture is clear. The one true God has nothing to do with anything sinful or wicked.
Amen.
There is no darkness in him at all. And we are encouraged to walk in the same light that he is in, which we can do when we stay filled with the Holy Spirit.
And saints, back to the scripture in Leviticus where the Lord told the children of Israel to keep the lamp burning continually. If you remember, they had to use pure olive oil.
Yes.
And the olive, we know, represents the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So this might sound spiritual, and some people might say, you know, what is darkness, what is light? And we basically know that light is, you know, good, darkness is evil. But walking in the light, you really need the Holy Spirit to walk in the light. It's
yes.
not just a matter of doing good things.
Amen. Amen.
But light means, okay, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts you of sin.
Yes.
And if you, this should, and even what we spoke about being daily cleansed by the Word of God, you should not have a day pass without getting with the Lord. Just going over the day, you know, I do that. I should do it more often, but I feel spiritually cleansed when at the end of the day I can say, Lord, let me look over what I've done for today. Show me, Holy Spirit, where I went wrong or what I could have done.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will bring the Word of God to me. I might read or I might hear it in song and whatever. I'll repent, and then I'll feel spiritually cleansed. That's what the Lord means by walking in the light. Because remember, light is shining. In other words, light is exposing all the dark areas in your life.
Amen.
So light is not just, walking in the light doesn't mean you're just walking around doing good things. It means that the Holy Spirit is just shining upon you, convicting you, not condemning you, but convicting you or just showing you you could have done this better. You know, you should have done this or you should not have done that. And with the Holy Spirit's guidance, He will guide you through the Word of God. And then that's how you get spiritually cleansed and washed. You can repent. You said, Lord, I'm sorry. You see where you went wrong. You see where the enemy comes in. So we want to impress upon you that walking in the light is walking with the Holy Spirit, just shining in every area, especially the dark areas of your life.
Amen. And regardless of what anybody tells you about their life or from another religion or whatever, just as the scripture that we read from Leviticus, where the Lord commanded the olive oil to be used
mm-hmm.
for the light, that's the only thing that they could use. The Spirit of God
Amen.
Is the only way you can have light in you, the
yes.
light of the true and living God.
Yes.
It can't come from any other
Amen.
Source or any other God.
Amen.
It has to be the light of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And saints, as I said before, do not ever get so filled with pride that you think that a day has passed that you have not sinned. Amen?
Amen.
So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, at some point in the day, you are going to get that conviction from Him that you just did not do something quite right. And like I said, it's not a condemnation. The Holy Spirit is just preparing us to be the bride of Christ. Amen? So if you're not getting that conviction from the Holy Spirit, if you're just feeling like you're just doing great every day, then maybe you are not walking in the light. Amen?
Amen. 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 If we look at Galatians now, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Galatians 5, 19 to 21 says, Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Okay, with that scripture in Galatians, we see the works of the flesh, works of darkness that are contrary to the Spirit of God and are therefore basically just darkness. When we as Christians operate in these things, we have to understand that we are walking in darkness. It is the devil that wants you to envy others. It is the devil that wants you to kill, that wants to kill you and for you to kill others. It is the devil that wants you to engage in wild parties where you are constantly drunk and don't even remember everything you did or said. It is the devil that wants you to put the things of the world ahead of God and practice idolatry. It is the devil that wants you involved in the occult and to go to mediums and psychics to try to make sense of your life instead of coming to the one and true living God. It is the devil that wants you to gossip and sow discord and strife with your brothers and sisters, with your family, with your coworkers, and everybody who you come in contact with.
Yes.
He wants you to walk in darkness so you are unfaithful to the Lord and to be powerless as a Christian. His end game, brothers and sisters, is to destroy you, either a little at a time or very quickly, however he thinks he can.
Amen. And saints, we have to be mindful that the spirit of the Antichrist is here.
Yes.
Whatever the Lord is doing, that spirit is coming against. That's why it says Antichrist. Amen.
Amen.
So the Lord said he's building his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So we know we're in a warfare. Amen.
Amen.
But the Lord says the Lord is only building and can only build his church in light. And even in the natural, you would not build, you would not do, even if it's people who sow, whatever you're doing, craft, you need light.
Yes.
To make a perfect product. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
No one goes to build in complete darkness because
Amen.
You can't see what you're doing. You will make mistakes and you will not get a perfect product. So as in the natural, so in the spiritual. We, as the body of Christ, we gather together sometimes weekly, sometimes more often. But if we are not walking in the light of the Holy Spirit, we cannot go on to perfection. So the Lord wants to really emphasize to us today that we need the Holy Spirit to walk in the light. And so he can build us into that perfect bride that's awaiting his coming and that can only be done in the light.
Amen. 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 Let's, in that vein, that same vein that my wife was talking about, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 11 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness,
Amen.
But rather reprove
Amen.
Them.
Amen.
Amen. And we have to remember also, and it should humble us, that we were once children of darkness.
Yes.
That's how we walked before we got saved.
Yes.
But now, the Bible says, after we've gotten saved, we are light in the Lord and to walk as children of the light.
Yes.
In verse 9, it says, okay, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Okay, so that is what the goodness, the righteousness, and the truth is the fruit of the light.
Yes.
Amen? So let's look a little deeper into what those three things mean. If we start with goodness, from the Greek word that comes from, the Greek word for that is agathosune, or I think that's how you pronounce it. According to my Greek lexicon, what it means is it is character energized by expressing itself. In other words, it's good in action,
yes.
Active good.
Yes.
For example, a person could show his zeal for goodness and truth by rebuking and correcting and chastening someone
Amen.
Or a group of people.
Yes.
And for an example of that, all you have to do is go to the righteous indignation that Jesus Christ showed when he threw out the money changers from the temple in Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 13. So let's go there and read that scripture.
And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves.
Amen. You see the righteous indignation
yes.
that Jesus Christ showed?
Yes.
That, from the what the word goodness is translated from in the Greek, that is a definition of the goodness of that was in Jesus
yes,
Christ
yes.
when he cleansed the temple.
Yes.
He did not do it softly, but he did it with a rod. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Okay, when a believer is led by the Spirit, at times they will not spare their sharpness while rebuking in order to bring about a godly good.
Amen.
At times we confuse goodness with being soft or having a mellow character. And there is a side of goodness that expresses itself that way. But that is not what the goodness in Ephesians
yes.
5 that we read is implying.
Amen.
the passage is dealing with the unfruitful works of darkness and how we are to walk contrary to that in the light.
Yeah.
We are not to have a casual attitude with ourselves or the body of Christ when we see that the works of darkness are operating in our midst unchallenged.
Yes.
We should be able to confront these things in the body and root them out if necessary, which is what the New Testament church was actually taught to do.
Amen.
That was a ministry in the New Testament church,
Amen.
Dealing with false doctrine and dealing with things that would lead people astray.
Yes.
Today in our churches, we are taught, unfortunately, that we are not to challenge the pastors or leaders on anything that they do, or we are in rebellion. That is not what the Word of God teaches. Remember the Bereans that we spoke about earlier. It is our responsibility to make sure the doctrine we're getting from our leaders, ministers, and pastors is in line with the anointed Word of God.
Amen.
All believers are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And if we are, then our spirits will bear witness yes. and rejoice when the truth is
Amen.
Being preached,
Amen.
Regardless of what vessel it's coming out of. Amen?
Amen.
We are also supposed to check each other to make sure that our behavior lines up with the Word of God. If we see or know our brothers and sisters who are engaging in activity that is obviously contrary to what our Lord and Savior taught, they need to be approached and called out in love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brethren, if we do not do it, then who will?
Yes.
I believe that the body of Christ is in the shape that it is in today, partly because those who know the truth will not speak up and stand for righteousness, even if it means being ostracized. Isn't that what Jesus did, our Lord and Savior?
Yes.
When God calls for it, let us exercise this goodness that is in Ephesians chapter 5 so that we all can grow together.
Amen.
There is supposed to be chastening and rebuke as a normal part
Amen.
Of our Christian lives.
Amen.
That is how we grow.
Amen.
Just like in marriage, husbands and wives need to be able to correct each other in love without fear of reprisal.
Yes.
When this goodness is missing from the body of Christ, it is dangerous and increases the possibility that we could follow a lie instead of the truth.
Amen.
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 Let's go on to righteousness now. Righteousness comes from the Greek word dikaiosune. Righteousness is the opposite of lawlessness. Being righteous means that you have conformed to all the claims and requirements of the one true God. Our God commands us to be in a state of righteousness if we're going to be saved and have fellowship with him and stand the test of his judgment.
Yes.
God himself is the standard, and we have to conform to all that he commands.
Yes,
in order for this to be, we actually have to receive him as a free gift.
Amen.
When we do this, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to us, and God's judgment is satisfied because Jesus paid the penalty or sin debt that we owed.
Amen.
The light of the Holy Spirit has to be in us so that darkness is repelled.
Amen.
Remember our sin nature, beloved. In our fallen state, we want to set up our own standards of righteousness and follow that, believing that will make us righteous.
Yes.
That is a lie from the pit of hell. As we see today, this society wants to make up its own set of rules and standards apart from what God commands so that they can indulge in the flesh. They call it being progressive. God's word and standards will never change, but the world will change based on its ungodly value system and will continually want to remove God and his ways from every part of society. This is part of the enemy's plan. Saints, if the light of the Lord shines in us brightly, people of the world will gravitate more to the light than to the darkness.
Yes.
I pray that this will be so. I pray that the light would shine in us so much that it would be so. Truth, okay? Truth comes from the Greek word aletheia. Now, we have spoken about this before on previous broadcasts, and this is actually the basis for the show that we do. The truth from heaven is what Jesus Christ came to earth to give us in addition to dying for our sins.
Amen.
Jesus Christ and all that he is, all that he stood for and said is the truth. From this Greek word, we can say that truth is the unveiled reality clearly lying before our eyes. Without the truth, without Jesus, our belief systems and everything that we trust in is false and in error. Everything that we do in the body of Christ has to have the foundation of the truth, or have Jesus Christ as his foundation, as the chief cornerstone. If not, it is a lie. For example, when we say that we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ and incorporate rabbits and Easter egg hunts and things of that nature, we are in error and have strayed from the truth.
Yes. Yes.
When we use the Bible to condemn and deceive believers to give all their substance, regardless of whether or not they have it or not, we are not operating in the truth. When the Church of the Living God is treated like a corporation where popularity and favoritism reign instead of the Spirit of the Living God, we have strayed from the truth and are operating in error.
Amen.
So my question today is the church being built on this truth? Is the light of Jesus Christ being portrayed in our meetings today?
Amen.
That's a question that we have to ask ourselves,
Amen.
And we also have to answer it individually depending on where we fellowship. Amen?
Amen?
Well, we have reached the halfway point of our show, and as you know, we have our praise break now, and the song that we have for you today is called He Covers Me by Steve Camp. Pray that you will worship with us and be blessed.
No.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you cover us.
Yes, Lord. Saints, the Lord wants to know that even though we go through chastening, we have the light of the Holy Spirit revealing those areas in our lives, He wants us to know that we're still covered. Amen.
Amen.
He covers us by His blood, but we know that we need that light to perfect us. Amen. And our desire, as the song says in our prayer, is let the Lord be perfected in us.
Hallelujah.
Until we see Him. Amen. And we'll continue talking about the type and shadow of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ through the servants in the Bible, and we were dealing with Moses for the past several weeks. Now we're going to see, as Moses, we're going to see the Lord as we study how Moses led the children of Israel. Amen.
Amen.
From Egypt.
Hallelujah.
Now, Moses led the Israelites to their promised land, and so we'll see that the Lord Jesus Christ is leading us to our promised land. Amen. To the kingdom of righteousness, where truth reigns. We just spoke about the truth, and where there is no darkness, no sin. Now, after Moses delivered the children of Israel from Pharaoh and Egypt, he led them to their promised land was called the land of Canaan. And the Bible gives us the account that as he led them from Egypt, the Egyptians pursued them until they had their backs to the Red Sea. Most of us are familiar with the story that with nowhere to go, the children of Israel were trapped, but God opened up the Red Sea for them to pass over on dry land.
Amen.
And when the Egyptians attempted to pursue them through the midst of the sea, the Lord then caused the waters to come over the dry land in the midst of the sea, overthrowing and destroying the Egyptians. Amen?
Amen.
And then Moses led them through the wilderness, and we read this in Exodus 15, where we read they lacked water, there was no water, there was no food, they had to fight enemies, and where they lacked the knowledge of God, the very God that delivered them, they didn't even know who He was. They didn't know about His holiness. Amen?
Amen.
They had heard about the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so they know that it was that God. But in terms of knowing Him personally, they didn't know Him like that. And they did not know where they were going. They knew Moses called them they knew that Moses delivered them from Egypt, but they did not know where they were going. Moses was their leader, but he didn't know the way either. In essence, they were in the wilderness without a compass. Amen? They had to walk by faith, learning as they go. God's presence went with them as a pillar of cloud in the day and as a pillar of fire at night to give light.
Amen.
Let's read Exodus 13, verses 7 to 22. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Amen. Everyone had to follow the cloud. So, saints, paint a picture in your mind of the Israelites walking in the wilderness, not knowing where their promised land was, not knowing whether they were to go north, south, east, or west. They didn't know how to love or worship God. They didn't know how to treat each other. They didn't know right from wrong.
Amen.
The Lord had to provide everything for them. He had to provide them food, water. He had to teach them how to fight. He had to teach them what was sin and what was not through his commandments. He had to instruct them how to love and worship him, how to love each other. He had to teach them the blessings for obedience, the punishment for disobedience, and how to make restitution for doing wrong. And saints, speaking of restitution, do you know that it is righteous in the eyes of the Lord when we make restitution for wrong?
Yes. Yes.
And
amen.
He commanded the Israelites to do this in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 5. In other words, many times we do something wrong or we are the cause of someone suffering a loss, but all we say is, I'm sorry, and we move on because we think that's enough. But the Bible says in Luke 3:8 that we're to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance.
Amen.
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 Produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. In other words, do something to show that you are really sorry. So if your child destroyed someone else's property, you need to replace it. If you had an animal that trampled someone's garden, you should provide some compensation.
Amen.
Either monetary or in labor to show that you're truly sorry.
Yes.
And then you make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That is true repentance. In essence, do not be the cause of harm, hurt, or loss to anyone.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Paul says in Romans 13, verses 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Amen. Owe no man anything. And this reminds me, I remember years ago, while my husband and I were driving our car in a parking lot, we accidentally hit and damaged the side mirror of another parked car. There was no one in the car, but we had no choice as Christian believers but to stop and leave our contact information on the car, you know, by the windshield wiper, so we could reimburse the car's owner for the damage. Now, the ironic thing is that when we had suffered a similar fate with our car on more than one occasion, no one did this. No one had offered to pay for our damages, but we were compelled by the Holy Spirit of Christ to do the right thing. Amen?
Amen.
We caused someone to suffer loss, and we had to recompense. Amen?
Amen.
So back to what we're saying about Moses leading the children of Israel in the wilderness. Now, what is a wilderness? According to the American Heritage and the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and I'll highlight the meaning of wilderness, a wilderness is an unsettled, uncultivated region left in its natural condition, an extensive area such as a desert that is barren or empty, something characterized by bewildering vastness and perilousness, a region uninhabited by human beings. Amen?
Amen.
So we get the picture of a wilderness as a large area that's unsettled, unbarren, empty, untouched, sometimes dangerous. This was precisely why the Lord had to guide the Israelites, feed them, give them water, protect them, and why the Lord called Moses as his instrument of deliverance and provision. We must remember, however, that the wilderness was just a passage to the promised land.
Yes.
The wilderness was not to be the resting place for the Israelites. Amen?
Amen.
And since the Lord wants to encourage us today that whatever we're going through, this is not our resting place.
Hallelujah.
Amen? It's very hard. You feel tired, thirsty, hungry. You're wondering where the Lord is. The enemy is coming at you 10 different ways. But this is just a passage to your promised land. Amen?
Amen.
Moses was called not just to deliver them from Egypt and into the wilderness, but to see to it that they got to the promised land.
Yes.
That is, to see to it that they survived the wilderness.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And
yes.
So it is today, saints, that our Lord Jesus Christ was sent to earth to deliver us from the devil and the world and to guide us through our wilderness passage here on earth until we get to our promised land.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ from the type and shadow of Moses, who was the leader in Exodus for the journey to the promised land. Before the Israelites left Egypt, God told Moses to instruct the Israelites to apply the blood of the lamb over their doors so death would pass over them. on the night when death would come to Egypt. The lamb was the shadow of Jesus himself, who shed his blood so death would pass over us, over all those who believe. Amen? In
Amen.
Him. Moses then led the children of Israel through the Red Sea, and passage through the Red Sea is a shadow of baptism.
Yes.
For believers today. Amen? Putting off or dying to the old man and putting on the new man. And saints, the Lord is speaking to, there are some people listening now. You have believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you have not followed the Lord in water baptism. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord wants you to fulfill all righteousness.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
We don't understand why we need to be baptized, but remember the Lord Jesus himself was baptized. Amen?
Amen.
Putting off of the old and dying to the new. So you need to go to the next step and be baptized. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 2. Moreover, brethren, this is Paul speaking, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Amen?
Amen.
So even the children of Israel going through the Red Sea, that was a type and shadow of what we are doing today as believers, being baptized. Amen?
Amen.
Now, as the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness, they became hungry and thirsty, and the Lord provided water from a rock. Let's read Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, and we'll skip a few verses. We'll read 1 to 2 and then verse 6. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And this is how the Lord answered. The Lord said, Behold, I will stand before Moses there upon the rock in Horeb. And the Lord said to Moses, Thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Amen?
Amen.
Saints, this rock was a shadow of the Lord Jesus himself, smitten by God. Remember, the Lord told Moses to smite the rock. So this rock, a type and a shadow of the Lord Jesus, smitten by God to give us life-giving water.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Now, when the Israelites were hungry, the Lord rained manna from heaven to feed them. Amen? Let's look at the type and shadow here again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 6, verses 30 to 35. Then Jesus, they said therefore unto him, Jesus, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven.
Hallelujah.
So the manna was just, not the true bread, was just the shadow bread. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus says, My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and give life to the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So we are seeing the Lord as Moses led them, smiting the rock, giving water, the Lord raining manna from heaven. We are seeing what the type and shadow of the Lord Jesus who would come to us. Amen?
Amen.
As we said earlier, the Israelites had to conquer many enemies on their way to their promised land through the leadership of Moses and then ultimately Joshua. So, saints, what this means for us is we are also going somewhere. As the children of Israel left Egypt and they knew they were going somewhere, we In 2013, we know we are going somewhere also. We are on a spiritual journey.
Yes.
And Jesus is the captain of our salvation.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 to 10 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Amen.
Hallelujah.
Since unlike the Israelites who are fighting to possess a physical land, our promised land is a spiritual one. Amen.
Amen.
When we were baptized into the body of Christ, we became one body and one with Christ. The Bible says, "Old things are passed away, all things are become new," the new man. And this is one of the reasons why we exhort those who need to follow the Lord in water baptism, in full immersion. This is what we're proclaiming, that you're dying to the old man, and when you arise up,
mm-hmm.
you're rising up in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ into the new man.
Amen.
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 Now that we're in this new man, old things are washed away, passed away. Now we seek the kingdom of God, which is not of this world, saints. I know that this is not what is preached today. We are being told to conquer and go after things on the earth. But let's see what the Word of God says, because many, many Christians are confused about what the kingdom of God is.
Yes.
Before we even go deeper, let's see what the Lord Jesus said before he was crucified. Let's turn to John chapter 18. Let's look at John chapter 18 before the Lord was crucified, 18 verses 35 to 36. Pilate says to the Lord Jesus, "Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence."
Amen.
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 Let's see what else the Bible says about what the kingdom of God is. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 3. Many know that this is what we call the Beatitudes, where the Lord talks about those who are blessed. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, the Lord says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now, the Lord says the poor in spirit are those who will inherit the kingdom of heaven. The Power New Testament Bible has the Jewish translation of poor in spirit to mean the repentant ones, the one that turns from wrong.
Yes.
This is very interesting, saints, because many people think that just doing good gets you into the kingdom of God. But many are doing good deeds while they're still in sin. They have not turned from wrong. In other words, if you're committing adultery, but you're feeding the poor, you're not repentant. Amen. You're doing a good deed by feeding the poor, but the Lord says those who inherit the kingdom of God are the repentant ones. Amen.
Amen.
You cannot go north and south at the same time. If the Lord says his ways are higher than our ways, it's like as far as the east is from the west. Amen?
Amen?
So if the kingdom of God is north and everything good is north and you're in sin going south, you will never make it to God's kingdom, because you're going in the opposite direction. And that's why repentance signifies a turning from one direction to another, from bad to good. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord is saying, a lot of times, like what I'm trying to say is that we think of the kingdom of God as naming and claiming, trying to get all the riches in this world. But the Lord says, no, those who inherit it are those who repent.
Amen.
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 Now, on the next, let's turn to Matthew chapter 19, verses 24.
Or 14.
I'm sorry, verse 14.
See, verse Matthew 19:14 says, "But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven."
Amen. Now the Lord again is saying, what type of people does the kingdom of heaven consist of? People like children, childlike faith, innocence, who are utterly dependent on the Lord. Amen. People who don't know a lot. And that, again, goes against what we are hearing being preached.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Because many of us, we pride ourselves in, we know this, we know the Lord, we know so much. You know, we boast in these things. But the Lord, again, says the kingdom of heaven consists of people with childlike faith.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Utterly dependent on
yes.
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, let's read Matthew chapter 19, verses 24.
And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
Amen. Saints, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Apparently, saints, and I'm not trying to be funny, the Lord was not preaching a prosperity message here.
Amen.
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 He actually said, your riches will make it very hard to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because the rich depend a lot on their riches.
Yes.
Riches bring you comfort. It brings you ease of life. It buys you basically everything. Riches buy you power, position, friends. They might not be true friends, but you get a lot of friends when you're rich. In contrast, children of God's kingdom are completely dependent upon Him. Amen?
Amen.
So that's where we're saying, as we've been talking about knowing the truth and walking in the light, let the Holy Spirit teach you. Don't go by what you hear man saying about what the kingdom of God is. It's not acquiring the wealth of the world. Amen?
Yes, yes.
It's being repentant, coming to God in childlike faith. Amen? Being completely dependent upon Him. And like we said, turning from this world and towards His kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read Luke chapter 17, verses 20.
And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation.
Amen. And you could continue to.
Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.
Amen. Or some translations say the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God comes not with observation.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The Lord is trying to tell us you're not looking for a physical kingdom here. And that's why the Lord told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this
world.
So saints, do not be deceived by people who are saying, look at me, look at what I have. Because the Lord is saying that's not what the kingdom of God is made up of. Amen?
Amen.
And we will continue talking about the kingdom of God, because the Lord said he's building his church. We are part of his kingdom. We need to know what the kingdom of God is.
Amen. We're going to continue next week talking about the kingdom of God, and we're really going to get into the wilderness as well, because this wilderness theme comes up too many times in Scripture
yes.
for us to just ignore it. So
Amen.
We're going to, by the grace and the power of God and by the Holy Spirit, we want to connect the wilderness to our Christian experience. Amen?
Amen.
But until God's willing next week, thank you for joining us. Hope all of you out there have a great week. Pray for us as we pray for you. We'll be praying for you as well. Patriot Greg, thank you very much for logging in. And remember, light and darkness. We are children of the light, and we are to walk in the light.
Amen.
Because God is light.
Amen.
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 So let the light of the Holy Spirit
Amen.
Just illuminate your life this week and be dependent upon Him. Amen. So God bless you, and God willing, we'll talk to you next week.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.